Welcome to episode 116 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Many of you will have heard of internationally acclaimed photographer Drew Gardner. I've spoken with him for the podcast several times in the past, and so you might already be familiar with his work, or even have seen him at this year's Focus on Imaging. Regardless, one thing is clear. Drew, like so many of us photographers, is passionate about what he does, and naturally this comes across in his work. But of course, getting the best out of your subjects requires more than just unbridled enthusiasm, especially when unexpected challenges arise mid-shoot. In this week's show then, featuring our conversation which I've kept under wraps since it was recorded at this year's Focus, Drew and I talk about how best to break down the barriers which might otherwise stop you getting the pictures you want. So, getting straight into it, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 116. So I'm sat here on the Manfrotto stand with Drew Gardner, who's just given one of his lively presentations. It's always a pleasure to see Drew talk. As I've just said to him, he's as nuts about photography as I am, so we're like a runaway train when we get going. It's always good for the crowd.
Absolutely. You know, I do have some sort of idea where it's going to go, but actually I never really have an idea where it's going to finish. So,
I've just caught the... you're here for pretty much essentially the whole show, but I've just caught the end of this particular presentation you've given to the crowd. And it was interesting, and I thought we'd have a chat about something that I put out on a podcast, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, about seizing the moment. But specifically, you were talking about one shot that you had on the monitor here, which was... your model was posed there with, I think it was some pigs in a forest.
Yep.
And you were saying that, you know, she had a dress there, but the farmer who was there to supply the pigs was making her feel uncomfortable with his, shall we say, unwelcomed advances from his eyes because of her dress, what have you. And you were saying, fair enough, the way her posture, her expression, obviously that just tapped into that and it came across. So I'd like to talk about just how we, you know, seize the moment and get the really good shots as they come in a split second, but also how we work around obstacles which are often out of our own control.
What I tend to work with is what's in front of me. And for me, what works is to not force something into a false situation. It's a bit like if you decide to do a portrait of them and you decide that you want them to smile. It might work for a little while, but soon the smile becomes forced, inauthentic, and everyone's unhappy with it. So the approach that I frequently have is to really reflect the way the person is feeling and to be aware of their situation. I mean, I think for me, it's more about being a human being first and a person and observing where they're at than being a photographer and just out with a fixed idea in my mind and forcing my own agenda through. It's best to work with the person where they are and seizing that moment.
And I think you raised a very good point that, you know, often the people that we're photographing, we've never met before. We know very little about them. It's a tight deadline, maybe. There are all sorts of restrictions. As you said, just 5 minutes on Google the night before the shoot can work wonders.
You know, absolutely. And I think that, you know, we can all enhance our own shoots by knowing more about what we're photographing. You know, to photograph somebody is one of the most intimate things you can do with your clothes on, anyway. And and I think the very least we can do is know enough about them. So when we're talking to them, we know what's going on in their world.
And I think it's a great shame, you know, I know, having seen your other projects you're working on, looking at the history of photography and you know, how photography has changed through the years. When you look at pictures where people had to have their sort of their necks braced because of the exposure times to sit there still, it's very sad to see people's natural default is to almost stand there in front of your camera looking like they're made of cardboard, absolutely rigid.
Absolutely, a really great observation there. You know, photography may be more about megapixels than plate cameras, but in many ways we haven't moved on from stiff poses. And I think for me what's always important is to try and meet people first without a camera if possible, and just to level with them, communicate with them, be interested in them and be aware of where they are, you know, at that moment and what's going on for them. You can frequently get a much better result from them. So it's you know, a little bit of Googling, a little bit of research, a little bit of awareness of who they are, and not just sticking them in front of the camera with a horrible wooden plastic smile. You can, you can have a wooden plastic smile, but if you could, it's something you end up with sometimes.
I think it's almost worse if you're, you know, we frequently use tripods for any number of reasons, but if you're literally using that as something to hide behind, I know some photographers, they're not that confident being a people person, which is a great irony for a portrait photographer, but it's a security for them, but by using that as an obstacle, it does become that barrier to communication.
Yeah, in filmmaking, it's called breaking the third wall. It's like the House of Cards on Netflix at the moment. It's where Kevin Spacey talks back to the camera.
Yeah.
What I try to do is get from behind the camera and communicate with my sitter.
Yeah.
So I'm not just this guy who happens to be taking a picture. I try and get out and communicate with him.
And there's an interesting thing I heard some years ago. I think it was about David Bailey. And people were asking him, the interviewer was saying, how do you relax your subject? How do you get the best out of it? And he was saying that he'll shoot maybe three or four rolls. This is back in the film days. Three or four rolls, but with no film in his camera. And, you know, whether you believe that or not, actually, why not? That may be extreme, but just literally working through getting someone relaxed. We've all got to have our methods.
Yeah,
that's what he did.
You know, it's... you know, if that really did happen, you know, I've heard it before, but
Whether it is true or not,
I certainly get where he's coming from. It's I don't know if I would have been quite brave enough not to have any film on the camera, because you can always get that really wonderful moment that you just don't expect to happen. Well, but I get where he's coming from.
I mean, I did a shoot some years ago where we were shooting again corporate portraits, and we had a lot of people to go through, and it was a case of we started off saying, okay, this chappy's got a blue tie and a stripy shirt. I think, well, half of those people have got blue ties and stripy shirts. So the lady that I was working with from the communications department, she would say to people, come in, grab the bit of paper that's got your name on it off the desk, and hold it almost like a convict shot below, you know, chest height. And it was a good laughing point. We say, look, we've just got to do that. People were really relaxed. We took the shot. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, we cropped the image, took that bottom bit out of the shot, and that was their corporate picture.
That's a brilliant trick, Giles, and you may be seeing me steal that idea
from
you.
Why not do it? But you know, I think it's very interesting, and we've got thousands of people here at the show. We do every year. They're all about the kit, they're all about the latest technology. What a lot of the punters forget is that photography, whether you put it as a 90% people skills, 10% technical, however you adjust those ratios, you have to be nice to your subjects. You have to work them to get the best. You just have to know your kit. That's a given.
Well, two things there. You have to know your kit. It is a given. I'm sorry, but I think most people don't get the best out of their kit. They don't have enough awareness of it. You should be able to change your OCF card without looking. You should be able to change your lens without looking. You should be able to change your batteries. Yeah. You should be able to change your lens. You should be able to do everything without even looking at the camera.
Yeah.
So the first step to brilliant photography is make the camera disappear. It's just an instrument. That's all it is. If you can make that disappear by not making it a big thing, so you can just concentrate on what is really important, which is the subject, be that a landscape, a person, or an animal, it doesn't matter. But if you can first eliminate the camera, that's a really big thing. The second thing, and the second point you raised there, and I always bang on about this, photography is not separate to life. All photography is a reflection of life, and all the same elements that are in there.
Yeah.
So if you treat photography as an add-on, then I think you're really missing the point.
And I think just going back to that first point that you mentioned there is maybe to instill a bit of hope for a lot of people listening who think they need thousands of pounds worth of the latest Canon or Nikon or Hasselblad or whatever kit. I think it was Mario Testino, who was Princess Diana's favourite photographer. Mm-hmm. A lot of the shots he shot of her were done on a compact camera.
Not surprised. I mean, look.
Point and shoot, and it was just about them in that moment. Mm. Talking, having a laugh, getting the shots.
Absolutely. It's not what you've got, it's what you do with it. Absolutely. And if you want to become more familiar with your camera equipment, best tip I can give to you is, if you're at home and you're watching telly, just keep the camera nearby and just learn to change the lens without looking. Learn to put a CF card in without looking. Yeah. Learn which way the battery goes in the right way around, so you're not having to look. You're not wasting time. If you take the camera away, effectively, if you do this and it becomes invisible,
because
all it is a tool.
Yeah. There's one sort of sneaky trick that is worth knowing is how to change a lens with one hand, which you can do with practice. A lot of the people that are listening to this, they are in the outdoors a lot with their photography. You know, they see something and want to act quickly. And the times that people fumble over their cameras, what have you. Like you're saying, you know where the buttons are, know where the switches are to release the doors to the memory card, where the button to release lenses. And it actually ultimately improves the quality of your enjoyment. Because
you're not
thinking about how do I try to take command of this device, you know.
The command of the device should be a given, you know. And I admit, you know, even I'm not as good at it as I should be, just knowing the whole thing in depth. But the things that you use day in, day out, you should just be so familiar with them that you don't even have to think.
Yeah, and that's, again, just going back to your work that you showed, and some of the work I've seen before, like the model there with the parachute running along. I forget where that was taken.
That's in North Wales.
That was North Wales. So, you know, it's Wales is renowned for not being sort of the tropics, and shall we say. And, you know, you're probably working to deadlines. The weather is not always with you. You just can be in the moment, and that is exactly what it is. It's getting the best out of it. And the results speak for themselves. And people look at the likes of yourself, and they think, wow, you know, I'm going to be a photographer. It looks so easy and glamorous. But actually, there isn't always the glamour, but actually the thing that makes those successful shots is what we've just been talking about.
Indeed.
All the preparation, all the research, all the understanding that allows you to forget it all and just be a person.
Exactly. I think if you try to take the camera out of the situation almost and just be yourself, you'll be really surprised what you get. Pleasantly surprised.
Drew, thank you so much again. It's nice to catch up with you. I know you've got a busy few days ahead of you.
Always a pleasure, Giles. Great to see you.
We'll speak soon. Cheers.
Bye.
To see examples from Drew's portfolio, be sure to take a look at his website and also have a look at his blog for more behind-the-scenes nuggets of wisdom. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's a Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.